Romans 8:28 is one of those verses I think is as much misunderstood as some of the other ones. And let me read that first of all, and then talk further on is what I want to get to. But we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, I've heard this verse used for God is using this sickness for my good. God is using that car accident for my good. You know, whatever happens, all these things are working together for my good. I've studied this out because that didn't make any sense to me, thinking about it that way. And really what it is in all things, God is working for my good. The subject here is really God, not the things. So no matter what's going on, God is trying to help me get to the good. He is a good God, a good giver of good gifts, and He's trying to get me there. Amen? If you don't believe that, if you think that's just my opinion, then study it out for yourself. Verse 29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. Praise God. Now, what were we just singing? I was made to worship and praise. There is a truth in predestination. It's another one of those things that I think has been taught wrong, because some Bible teachers will tell you that predestination means whatever God wants to happen is just going to happen, whether you like it or not, whether you do anything about it or not. But it just ain't true. But there is such a thing as predestination. Pre, before, destination, destiny. There was destiny here before we got here for every one of us, and it's good. It's a wonderful destiny. But whether we reach it or not, it's not up to God as much as it's up to us now. God wants us to be born again. God wants us to be filled with His Spirit. God wants us to be healed. God wants us to be prosperous in every way. God wants us to be at peace. Whether we get there or not is up to how we live our life, how we walk through our life, what we believe, what we think about. All those things have something to do with what kind of life we're having. We've been studying a book. We were studying a book on Thursday nights, Becoming the Person You Want to Be. You can become the person you want to be. You can become the person God wants you to be. You can become the person you were destined to be, and we're destined to be like Jesus. Praise God. But we have to make the changes. You'll understand more what I'm talking about as we talk about it, but it's in our hands. Brother Hagin used to talk about the Godward side and the manward side. There are some things that God does, and there are some things that we do. And it takes both of those to really change our lives. Amen? But notice verse 30 again. Whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Just another word for righteous, made righteous. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. So there's this opportunity, this destiny for us to not only be righteous, which we are, but the glorified would be manifestation of miracles and signs and wonders and God displaying Himself through us. Amen? In the new birth, we were made like Jesus on the inside. As we learn to deal with our soul and spirit, our soul and body, our heart and body, we'll be conformed to Jesus on the outside too. You know, there are just people who in the natural wouldn't be runway models, can I put it that way? But when Jesus is on the inside and He's showing on the outside, you're just better looking. Praise God. Now, what we tend to do, and one of the things that I've been reading about, we've been studying recently, we recognize that we want to be transformed. We want to find this image. We want to enjoy this image, this predestination that God has for us. So what naturally happens is we begin to look at what needs to be subtracted or added to our life. If I just can take some of these things away, my life will get better. Or if I can just add some of these things to my life will get better. And so we start, you know, if you're a Christian, coming to church, you find out, if I would just pray more, or if I would just change the way that I talk. And all those things are good, but that doesn't bring, those things by themselves don't bring transformation. Because we're looking for transformation. My title this morning is Transformation Through Meditation. And we need to be transformed. It's better than, you know, to work on, there are some things in all of our lives that need to go and some things that need to come. And so doing that is better than doing nothing at all. You don't want to just sit back and do nothing. But in the meantime, there are some better things we can do. It's not transformation. The truth is also that when we look at something that needs to go, and we really would like to not have it go, we like having it around, and we try to subtract it anyway, it leads to a feeling of lack, and then when we have a feeling of lack, it's hard to maintain. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to stop doing whatever it is. You fill in the blank for yourself. So I start putting that into practice, but it's not what I wanted. There's no want to yet. It's just a grit my teeth, stop doing that. Then pretty soon, boy, I really want to do that. And you know, I mean, a way out there example would be drugs or something like that, but it's usually something smaller in our eyes than that. But until we change our heart belief, we're probably going to come back to it somewhere along the way. People that have problems with cigarettes. It's sad to read somebody had been a smoker and that was not smoking now for like 10 years and all of a sudden pick up a cigarette and go back to it again. Because it's still there. It's still there in their heart. When their heart changes, then there won't be a problem anymore. Amen. Adding or subtracting is going to probably bring some change, but what we're looking for is transformation. Transformation is about being. Transformation is about who we are. It's about recognizing who we are on the inside so that that can come on the outside. And it's more than just adding and subtracting. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 4. What we need to do is change the awareness of who we are. Not just on a mental level. Well, I know, okay, I'm righteous. Yeah, but what does that mean on a heart level? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. Read this out of the New American Standard Bible. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. Be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience, which is talking about the children of Israel. Right? Now, the word rest here is used at least three times, I see, in these verses. But the first one is different than the next two. In fact, New American Standard, that's why I read it in that one, it says there, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. It is, when you look it up in the Greek, you can see the word Sabbath in the word. In fact, Strong defines it as Sabbath keeping. That was interesting to me. That's just a little side thing here. Jesus dealt with a lot of this. You're doing this on the Sabbath. And he said, I'm Lord, Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath. And now today there are those who are Christians who feel like we need to get back to keeping the Sabbath. I think it's important to get physical rest. But I don't think that's the kind of rest that's being talked about here. In fact, when I saw that this was from the word Sabbath, I thought maybe this was the Sabbath that God had in mind. Now think about that. To keep the Sabbath would be to enter that place of rest that God has for us, a soulish, a heart, not a physical, but an inside rest. What do you think? Just my opinion, but think about it. All right. For the one who has entered his rest, now, those rest, you might want to, if you underline, you might want to underline the words rest, has himself also rested from his works, as God did his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. It almost makes your mind go tilt when you think you have to work to get to the rest. But there is a sort of a kind of work. And this rest is a different Greek word. It means a ceasing from labor. You're going to work to cease from work. But when you understand all that's being put together here, it'll make some sense to you. Hold that thought and go to Matthew chapter 11. Be diligent to enter that rest, that place of ceasing from labor. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I'm going to read these verses out of the Amplified Bible. Anybody find that? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. Now, this is what the Amplified adds. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and meek, humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, pleasant, and my burden is light and easy to be borne. Get in yoke with Jesus. That means that it's not just stopping doing things altogether. There's still things to do, but it means coming to the place where we're not into works, we're not into the flesh, we're not gritting our teeth and trying hard. We are flowing with Jesus. We're believing. We've come to the place of knowing who we are, and so life isn't so hard anymore. We can face difficult situations and still be okay. We can be all turmoil on the outside and be at peace on the inside, which is what God meant for us to start with. I mean, think about Jesus, all the turmoil that he had around him. But yet, he was obviously at peace on the inside because he knew who he was. He had to learn who he was. I don't believe he laid there in the manger and had that all together, but he figured out who he was. He spent time before God and became aware of who he was. And by that, he could be at peace. If he could be at peace in his life, in his situation, we can be at peace in ours. Amen. But this peace is available through just coming to Jesus, coming to this place where through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, we really understand who we are. So we're coming to that. What we're working on here is what I'm trying to get us to think about is coming to the place of being of awareness, of really knowing who we are not just knowing who we are, but knowing who we are. To know it, not just, say, you know, I think that if you come to this church very much, and somebody says to you, who are you, from a spiritual sense standpoint, you would say, well, I'm righteous, I'm healed, I'm all these things. But it's just, the reason that it's not manifesting more, I think, is because it's just a mental thing. It's not a heart thing yet. But we can get it to that place where it's a heart thing, and then we begin to be to enjoy this life as we really want it to be. And it's not just about, you know, enjoying life. It's about there are things to do. There's kingdom work to be done. There are people dying and going to hell all around us, and we need to be living epistles before them. It's not so much knocking on doors. It's living the kind of life that people would look and say, I want that kind of life. And when they come to you and say, you have a good life, what do you do different than what I'm doing? Well, let me tell you, it's pretty easy to witness in a situation like that. Amen? Amen. So, Psalm chapter 1, first Psalm. You know what it means when the pastor looks at the clock? Absolutely nothing. Okay. I thought you had that down by now. Psalm 1, verse 1. New Living Translation. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord. You know, the New Testament says that faith is the law. But we know basically it's talking about the Word of God. They delight in the Word of God, meditating on it day and night. Meditating day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. I don't know about you, but I like verse 3. Trees planted along the riverbank, so there's always nourishment there. There's always what they need there. Bearing fruit every season, each season, their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. Praise God. Have you known anybody that whatever they put their hands to seems to do well? Sometimes they're not even Christians. But I think that's because the right things are in their heart for that area. So if we as children of God, filled with His Spirit, get the right things in our heart, wow, sounds pretty good. Meditating here, according to Strong's, means to devise, muse, imagine, or mutter. In the Old Testament, most of the time when it talked about meditating, it had to do with muttering or saying over and over to yourself. The Old Testament was more about speaking. The New Testament is more about thinking. But really, none of that makes any difference unless you get it in your heart. Amen. Isaiah chapter 26. Verse 3. Is it underlined? Should be. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Now, as I said before, first of all, perfect peace is shalom, shalom. That's pretty good. Whose mind is stayed on you. The word mind is defined as purpose or imagination. So we could say it this way. You will keep him in shalom, shalom, whose imagination is stayed on you. So we get our imagination stayed on him. Imagination is a good thing. It's a God-given thing. Meditation is a God-given thing. It's a wonderful thing. So people, you know, and I think sometimes we shied away from meditation because we heard transcendental meditation and you know, there are bad meditations. Everybody meditates. It's what you meditate on. That's important. So if we get our imagination, our meditation on Him, that's going to make good changes in our life. Whenever anything happens out here, something happens in here with our imagination. And so, well, Dave and I have talked about this. You get older, it's stronger temptation, I guess. If you get a twinge somewhere and you think, whoa, what was that? When you were young, you just walked right on through it and didn't have a second thought about it. But as you get older, it's like, oh, man, I hope that's not this or that. And then you start imagining. All the halos go up, not me. Yeah. This is the direction that we go unless we've got something different in our heart. One of the things that made Brother Hagin and the great men and women of faith over the years was when those kind of things happened, it didn't make any difference to them. Brother Hagin used to talk about it. He laughed at it. He lay in bed with all the symptoms for when he was dying and when he was 17, come back on him, all of them there, and he'd laugh. He'd lay in bed, pull the covers up over his head so he wouldn't wake up his wife and laugh at the devil. You know, you better have the right things in your heart if you're going to do that. Praise God. We're working on it in the right sense. New Testament, Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. I know I've talked about this before, but we have to keep coming back to it. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue or excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. All those things will be covered in the Word of God, in the things about God. Now, it's interesting. I was looking at one of the Greek lexicons. I don't think it was Strong. I forget which one it was, but had this definition in there. Meditate. To think upon a matter by way of taking account of its character. To think upon a matter by way of taking account of its character. Could you share what, when I was talking to you about this back home, do you remember what you said? You had a good insight on that. She has lots of good insights. I mean, look who she married.
Okay, read it again.
Yeah, it says, to think upon a matter by way of taking account of its character.
So we're talking about, when you think of it as character, it obviously means more than just a passing thought. And also talking about, you know, I think I had the example of the news. You know, things that we think about may not be anything wrong with it per se, but when you think of character, it's how it affects you and, you know, the what level it affects you. You know, there's things that we listen to and watch and, you know, intake that is not sin, but it affects us in a negative way. You know, if you're around, even being around, you know, maybe it's a family member or something, and you just, this negative conversation, and just, you know, it's, and you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've gotten so, even when I say something that's contrary to what I know, just in passing kind of a thing, it's like you almost feel dirty, you have this yucky feeling that, you know, and so I think that this is, we're more the level of what we're talking about here. It's, you know, what we think about, it may not be wrong in itself, but our character, who we are, how does it affect who we are?
Yep, and that's what we're after, praise God. Remember Danny Griffin came years ago and he said, what do you think about what you're thinking about when you're not thinking about what you're thinking about? And that's true, because we tend to be having a train of thought go in a certain direction, and we sometimes don't, it's so automatic that we don't even know until we're way down the wrong path and have to come back. I hate going the wrong way and having to turn around and come back. So sometimes I don't. That's the problem. You know, but there's these automatic responses of thought where we go down that way, and it's what we're working on changing our hearts so we can retrain ourselves. Meditation. I was meditating on meditation this morning, and I thought you could, in light of what the scriptures that we read, you could break it down into three categories, or three, I hate to say steps, because I don't want to organize it too much. It's not that kind of thing, but we need, obviously, to think the right things, to think in the right direction. And we need, according to the Old Testament mutter, we need to begin speaking in the right direction. That's why we change our words, not because some confession changer person came along and yelled at us, but because it's the right thing to do. Because if we speak the wrong thing, we're going to think the wrong thing, and it's going to affect our character, like Diane was saying. But then, and then the third part would be experiencing it. And I know with me, that's the part I wasn't doing. Doing a lot of meditation, I knew the meditation was right. Told Joshua all the way through the Bible, people are told to meditate. But to experience it, to as you're thinking about it, try to feel that. And there's certain things that we do that with. It may not always be the right thing, but we need to do that with the right things, to try to experience them as we're thinking about them, to experience your healing, to experience your bills being paid, to experience the peace. Experience it on a meditation level before physically or whatever becomes a reality. Amen? Over the years, when I saw that I needed to meditate, I used to lay in bed at night and start thinking about playing baseball for the Yankees. Center field, right field, first base, pitch, I don't care. Just play for the Yankees. Got to be the Yankees. If the Red Sox signed me up, I wouldn't show up. I'm sorry. Sorry, George, wherever you are there. I didn't bat 300, I batted 1,000 in my meditation. And I don't think there's anything per se, like Diane said, wrong with that, but that's not the area that I'm trying to change. That's not going to happen. Even as the healing manifests itself, I'm pretty sure the Yankees are not going to sign me up. I waited too long. But so there are areas that need to be meditated on that you know, things can really change. To meditate, I'm starting now to lay at night there and think about, meditate on different things. I see myself getting up the next morning and cooking breakfast. That's a miracle, Diane says. I figure I probably just make it for myself because I'm not sure Diane would eat it right away at first until I get this thing down. You know, I never meditate on cleaning, though, or cleaning up afterwards. It's just, I'm starting to see myself going through the day, standing up, using my hands, and trying to experience that as I go through it. Do you understand what we're saying? I think that's the important step. I know it's the important step as far as I'm concerned with me that I need to work on. Now, I read some things in the book we've been studying. Biblical meditation is the doorway to the heart. And it's the heart that we want to change. Biblical meditation is the doorway to the heart. By focusing inward, reducing the mental clutter and outward focus, we begin to hear with the eyes of our heart. This is why Dr. Richards came up with this heart physics, is that what he calls it? Where, you know, you focus, you meditate, you stop, sit there and see yourself relaxing. He goes through relaxing different parts of the body, because what happens in the process is you quiet down, you stop thinking about all this stuff out here and all the stuff that you have to do tomorrow. And then when you quiet down, you can meditate on the right things and really make a change in your heart. At first I thought, oh, I don't know about this. But it does have a calming effect, and we can start going in the right direction. Through meditation, we experience God's word, God's presence, and God's promise. And they become real to our hearts, in our hearts. We experience them through meditation. God's presence, God's word, God's promise. One of the greatest things that happen as we ponder, consider, meditate on the presence of Christ in us is that we become aware of who we really are. We enter the realm of being and leave the realm of addition and subtraction. It's not going to create the kind of life that we want through addition and subtraction. But through meditation and meditating the right things and changing the way that we think about things and experience things, we can change our lives by changing our heart. So, let's do that. We can practice right now some meditation. Just try not to think about what's going on around you, what you have to do today. Think inwardly and try to, what is it that you need? What's the biggest thing that you need change in your life right now? So begin to think about that and try to experience it. Try to feel it in a heart level. Praise God.